जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी चंदा बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। गोपी चंदा बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य। अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवबिंद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर चार्ल्स डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Niravishesha Sunyavari Paschachite Satarane. जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। So this morning we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 5, text number 77 through 80. So word meanings, Tabe at that time, Badavipra, the elderly Brahmana, Kahe says, A, Satchikata, this is true, Gopala, the Gopal deity, Yadi, if Shakshi, witness, Dana, gives, Apane, personally, Asi, coming, Etat, there. Tabe at that time, Kanya, daughter, Diba, must give in charity, Ami, I, Janiha, you will all know it, Nishchaya, certainly, Tanra, his putra son, Kahi says, A, this bhala, nice, bata statement, haya is. Tabe bada vipra kahe e satya kata. Gopala yadi shakshi dena apane ase ta. Tabe kanya divi ami janiya nischaya. Tamra putra kahe e bala bata haya. Tabe bada vipra kahe e satya kata. Gopala yadi shakshi dena apane ase tat. Tabe kanya diva ami janiya nischaya. Tanra putra kahe e bala bata haya. Ladies? Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Taking this opportunity, well, first maybe a little history might be appropriate. This is the chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the activities of Shakshi Gopal, the Shakshi Gopal deity, is described. You know the history. The young Brahmin and the old Brahmin went on pilgrimage, and the young Brahmin was such great assistance to the elderly Brahmin that there in Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham, the elderly Brahmin promised to give his daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmin. Now, of course, they were of different castes, although both brahmanas. And so this promise, even at the time it was given, the young brahmin understood that there could be some problem in executing this promise on the part of the elderly brahmin. So indeed, when they got back to their place of residence in Vijayanagar, quite some distance from Vrindavan, the elderly Brahmin told his what he had promised to his family, and they objected very strenuously. Indeed, they objected so strenuously, they said that they would kill themselves if he did this. So he obviously didn't say anything, and the younger Brahmin, he didn't have the desire necessarily to marry this other man's daughter, but the promise was made before the deity, and so he was concerned about the promise that the elderly Brahmin made before the deity and not keeping that promise. So then there was some negotiation, some meeting got together, and then it was proposed that if the Shakshi Gopal deity, if the deity of Gopal himself came to Vijayanagar and bore witness, then a deal could be made. And so that's where we pick up with today's verse. Therefore, that's the meaning of taking this opportunity. Taking this opportunity, the elderly Brahmin immediately confirmed that this was really true. He said, "If Gopal personally comes here to serve as a witness, I shall surely give my daughter to the young Brahmana." The elderly Brahmana's son immediately confirmed this, saying, "Yes, this is a very nice settlement." Purport. As a supersoul within the heart of all living entities, Krishna knows everyone's heart, everyone's request, and everyone's prayer. Although all these may be contradictory, the Lord has created a situation in which everyone will be pleased. The Lord has to create a situation in which everyone will be pleased. This is an instance of a marriage negotiation between an elderly Brahmana and a youthful one. The elderly Brahmana was certainly willing to give his daughter in charity to the young Brahmana, but his son and relatives became impediments to this transaction. The elderly Brahmana considered how to get out of this situation and still offer his daughter to the young Brahmana. His son, an atheist and a very cunning fellow, was thinking of how to stop the marriage. The father and son were thinking in a contradictory way, yet Krishna created a situation wherein they agreed. They both agreed that if the Gopal deity would come and serve as a witness, the daughter would be given to the young Brahmana. So there are a couple of other verses assigned. I'll just read them. There are no purport to those verses, but they continue the story. Text number 79. The elderly Brahmin thought, "Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he will certainly come to prove my statement." The atheistic son thought, "It is not possible for Gopal to come and bear witness." Thinking thus, the father and son agreed. Now, I can't resist the temptation to read the next two verses, being a lawyer, because then it gets down to the details, a written contract. So I have to read them, and I hope that the speaker next week and Yuga Kishore will forgive me, but I just can't not read these verses. The young Brahmin took the opportunity to speak. "Please write this down on paper of honor." All the assembled people got this statement down in black and white, and then taking the signatures of agreement of both of them, served as the mediators. So the deal was made between the young Brahmana and the family of the elderly Brahmana. So the subject matter is faith. Quite often when we're faced with the perplexing complexities of this world, people have little faith, or they don't place much emphasis on faith in a situation. Indeed, sometimes faithful people are ridiculed. Oh, what will you believers in God do? Prabhupada gives the example of the communists in Russia. Actually, from my experience, the Russian people are very, you know, religious and open to faith. But the projection that we had in the West for so many years was that they were atheistic. The communists were atheistic, not necessarily the people. And so the Prabhupada gives the example of the communist would see people going into the church, and they said, yes, go into the church and you pray for bread. And so the people would go into the church and pray for bread, and they'd come out with their hands empty. And the communists would be there with a truckload of bread and say, just see, you prayed, you exhibited your faith by going into the church and praying to God for bread, and you came out empty-handed. Now just take from us whatever you want, as much bread as you want. Why have such faith? Why waste your time? So this is generally how materialists think about faith. But as described in Bhagavad Gita, what is day for the self-realized soul is night for the materialist, and just the opposite, what is day for the materialist is night for the self-realized soul. And so it is with faith. As devotees, faith is a very empowering element in our lives. Whereas for the non-devotees, faith is meaningless. So this is an example of how faith is empowering. The elderly Brahmin was completely powerless to do anything in the face of his relatives. Whenever there's a marriage negotiation, particularly in India, it's a very complicated affair. And like everybody has to agree, otherwise there's so much trouble and difficulty that lasts for years and years. So everyone has to agree, and it's actually the prerogative of the elderly Brahmin to give his daughter in marriage to whom he likes. But due to the complexities of his family, he was powerless to do not only what was his religious duty, having promised before the deity, but even in executing his material activities, he was powerless. He was limited by all these material considerations. But this arrangement that was made was empowering to him, and therefore he immediately took advantage of that opportunity. Yes, this is a good settlement, he said. Yes, this is a very nice settlement. Because he had faith. Faith had opened up new avenues, new worlds of possibility for how this situation could be resolved. That's the nature of how faith works in a devotee's life. Opening up new worlds of possibilities. Whereas for those who are atheists, those who have no faith, they're simply dependent upon what they already know to be limitations. The limitations of their mind, of their senses, of the fallible bodies, of the fallible arrangements in the material world. Materialists know these things to be limiting. It's not something that is unknown to them. Yet because they have no faith, they cannot go beyond them in any way. Therefore, they live a life that is based on false hopes. Whereas the devotee is empowered in ways that take things beyond material limitations. And actually, the Shastras are full of examples of this. I want to cite a couple of them to you here today about how faith works. The first one involves another pastime of a deity, and this is the pastime of Raghunandan Thakur, who comes from the village of Srikhanda in Bengal. Raghunandan Thakur, his father was a great devotee, Mukunda, and you know, I'm sure, the story about how, as a small boy, Raghunandan was asked by his father to take care of the deity worship because he had to go. He was a physician, Mukunda, and he had to go to a distant place one day and he couldn't worship the family deity. So he told his son, about a five-year-old boy, Raghunandan Thakur, to make the offering to the deity that day. So as I said, I'm sure you're familiar with the story, but we hear it in some different ways sometimes. And so I recently read that again in this book, the Sri Krishna Kathamrita Bindu, which has a description of this interaction between Raghunandan and the Gopinath deity. And it gave me some interesting insight into the faith that was exhibited by Raghunandan Thakur. And I just want to read that to you here. So it's just a short passage. It begins, as instructed by his father, Raghunandan collected the items for offering to Sri Gopinath Ji and entered the deity room. Raghunandan was barely 5 years old. As children are wont to do, he imitated the way he had seen his father offering bhoga to the Lord. However, when he saw the food still present on the plate after he had offered it to Gopinath, he thought that Gopinath hadn't eaten it, and he became very worried. With tears in his eyes, he prayed to Gopinath, "Please eat, please eat." Sri Gopinath, who is Sarveshvara, Srishtikarta, and Jagannath, the supreme controller of the all controllers, the creator and the lord of the universe, became conquered by the simple, loving request of the five-year-old Raghunandan. Thus, he stealthily ate everything without leaving any remnants. We sometimes hear this story that Raghunandan took a stick and he went into the deity room and he was like, you better eat, you know, threatening like that. But here we get the description that with tears in his eyes, he was praying to the deity, please eat, please eat. And so he was exhibiting faith in two ways in this situation. First, it says here, as instructed by his father. So for faith to be potent, for it to actually act, it has to be done in parampara, as instructed by his father. This is anusara, or following. If we follow the instructions of great devotees, then our faith will be rewarded. That's anusara. Anukara is something different. Anukara is imitation. If we imitate the great devotees, then we're depending upon our own abilities, our mental abilities, our physical abilities, or even the abilities of the demigods that we pray to for fulfilling our material aspirations. That's imitation. But anusara means following. So he was following. And with faith, he was pleading to the deity, please eat, please eat, with loving faith. And therefore, Gopinath acted in such a way that's incomprehensible to the materialist. How is it that a deity can eat? I mean, eat so that all the boga is gone from the plate. How is that? Even Mukunda, his father, was surprised. He came home and he asked him, well, where's the prasadam? What prasadam, Raghunandas? He ate everything. His father had some doubt in his mind, and so a few days later he asked him to take care of the deity again. In the same way, following instructions, how he had seen his father do, he offered the food to the deity. And he was watching from a hidden place, Mukunda. And so, to reciprocate with the faith of his devotee, Gopinath again started to eat the boga that was offered. But then Gopinath saw that, oh, Mukunda is looking, you know, so therefore he just ate one bite and he didn't eat any more. And Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that still you can go to that place and see that half ladu that the Lord bit. Actually, I went there. I saw it. So, by the faith of Raghunandan Thakur, the deity acted in an inconceivable way. That's faith. That's the power of faith. Faith, which is an element of love, actually it's the first element of love Rupa Goswami has given. Adau Shada, you know the progression. Adau Shada, Tata, Bhajana Kriya, like that. I don't know the verse, all of it, but there are different stages of love coming to prema. And it begins with some initial faith. So that faith comes from following the example and orders of the great devotees. And it can result in things which are unimaginable, materially speaking. This wonderful nature of the Lord's activities is actually described in the first verse of this chapter, where it explains that I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Shakshi Gopal to benefit a Brahmana. Walking on his own legs, he traveled for 100 days through the country. Thus his activities are wonderful. So this word is given here, adbhuta, wonderful. The activities of the Lord are understood to be wonderful by the devotees because they have faith. The materialists can't understand them at all. And that's also exemplified in the dealings with Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakasipu. Hiranyakasipu was a very, very powerful materialist, and he had no faith in the Lord. Therefore, even after trying to kill his own son in so many ways, using his material schemes and his physical strength, his personal physical strength, when he couldn't kill his son, he asked his son where he gets his power from. And when Prahlad Maharaj told him that, he thought that he could actually kill the source of Prahlad Maharaj's strength. And so therefore he attacked the pillar. He couldn't conceive that the Lord could be in the pillar. He couldn't conceive that the Lord could overcome all the benedictions that he had gotten from Lord Brahma. He had no faith. But in a very wonderful way, adbhuta, wonderful way, the Lord appeared from the column and he killed Hiranyakasipu. Adbhuta, it was very wonderful. And so that wasn't the extent of the wonder that took place there. I happened to have the fortune to be in Sridhar Mayapur one year when Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on these verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, And he described the wonderful type of experiences a devotee has with the Supreme Lord. And so after Hiranyakasipu killed Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakasipu with his nails of his hands, he then touched his hand to the head of Pallad Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada describes this in a very nice way. He says, so Pallad Maharaj, Tatkara Sparsha, touch of the lotus palm of Nrisingadev, the same palm where there is nail, Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Shringham, the same palm with Naka Adbhuta, Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanu Bringham. Immediately, with this nail only, the Lord did not require any weapon to kill the gigantic demon, simply nails. The example is very nice. Kamala. Kamala means lotus. The Lord's palm was just like a lotus flower. Therefore, in the lotus flower, it is very soft, very pleasing. How the nails came. Therefore, Adbhuta. Tavakara Kamala Adbhuta. It is not possible to grow some ferocious nails, piercing nails, in a lotus flower. This is contradictory. Therefore, Jayadev says, Adbhuta, it is wonderful, it is astonishing. This, therefore, Lord's power, exhibition of power and sharp nails, they are all inconceivable. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained, unless you accept inconceivable power of the Lord, there is no understanding. Achinta means inconceivable. You cannot speculate how it's going to happen. How in the lotus flower there was so hard nail, then immediately, within a second, it could kill a great demon like Hiranyakasipu. Therefore, it is achintya. We cannot conceive. They say mythology. Because they cannot conceive with their poor brain, they cannot accommodate how things happen like that. They say mythology. Not mythology, it is fact, but it is inconceivable by you or us. It is not possible. So Prabhupada was explaining this contradictory happening, that with the same hand that killed Nrisingadev so hard, that soft hand was now patting the head of his devotee, Prahlad. An inconceivable experience, yet it's open for those that have faith. Now, this is the nature of a devotee's life. His faith is actually nourished in so many ways by an interaction with the Lord and his representatives. As tomorrow is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, we can't help but reflect upon the representative of Srimati Radharani, who has, in a very inconceivable way, given all of us mercy. You know that Srila Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Deh, he prayed to Srimati Radharani that his son, Srila Prabhupada, would become a great devotee, become her great devotee. Indeed, whenever any sadhus came to their house, and that was quite often, Gaur Mohan Deh would always ask him to bless my son that he becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani. And inconceivably, those blessings obviously took effect, because Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, not just the Western world, all over the world, and he gave Radharani's mercy to each and every one of us. Srimati Radharani is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita as the Ladini Shakti, personification of Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. And that pleasure potency of the Lord is a source of all love for Krishna. It's a source of all love for Krishna. And she's also the source of all compassion. Her love for Krishna, when directed towards the living entities, takes the form of compassion. And so out of compassion for all the living entities, Srimati Radharani blessed Srila Prabhupada so that he could come to the Western world and deliver all of us. Give us a little bit of faith. Give us the beginning of what will develop into complete love of Godhead. That's Srimati Radharani's gift to us through his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And so, as we celebrate Radhastami tomorrow, we can meditate on the inconceivable nature of receiving such fortune. Such fortune we've got to be able to resolve all kinds of contradictions in our life. To resolve all problems in our life. To resolve all conflicts in our life. Simply by taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. And she's here, standing ready to do it. She's giving her blessings. You see, she's standing, giving a blessing through her palm to all of us every day. If we take that benediction from her, we receive that compassion from her, then in a very inconceivable way, Srimati Radharani, Lord Sri Krishna, through their representative Srila Prabhupada, will take charge in all of our lives. And all kinds of circumstances, either material circumstances like this brahmana was facing, or any other kind of spiritual dilemmas we may have or anything, will all become resolved simply by taking shelter at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is the representative of Srimati Radharani, who delivers this inconceivable fortune to all of us. So are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes, Sugata Prabhu.
He was going into great detail about the marriage arrangements with the elderly Brahmin's family and the obstacles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And in Western society, we don't have so much a concept of arranged marriages and stuff. And he didn't really mention much about the woman herself. And could you just elaborate some more about how that works and the...
How arranged marriages work?
Yeah, traditionally in that culture, because we're not used to that. Or even understand that some people, when they see this, they'll think it's some kind of a barbaric, ancient
thing. Well, I think
thing.
In the Vedic times, and I can't speak for present-day India or present-day cultures where this may take place, but I think in the Vedic conception, these kind of arrangements were just the way culturally everyone expected things to happen. It's not like that people were sort of, boys and girls were just sort of independent and then they were forced into a system that was arranged. They didn't live like that. So an arranged marriage in those circumstances was something that was natural. That's the way it happened. I mean, it wasn't like at odds with something else happening in society. It just was happening like that. And so therefore, as far as the girl is concerned, then in this culture, I mean, let's see. I mean, I don't know that the culture was so strong 500 years ago or whenever this Nishakshi Gopal Leela took place in time, but let's assume that it is. I think we have to assume it is, and then she would accept the arrangement of her parents. So it's not something going against her. You know, she's forced into a system that is completely alien to the way she's been living her life. So that's just the way marriages took place in those times. Ganagami, you have something to add to that?
Yeah, actually, the children were appreciative of the parents making these arrangements for them. They were very happy to have that that decision of who to marry taken care of. Mm. Other question I had was about faith. If one is feeling fallen, very humble, and very you know, unqualified to even consider himself a devotee. How does he approach Krishna with faith, and to, even to the extent of demanding or asking for certain favors or things? How does one reconcile that?
I think that's obviously that's a very good question, but for us at this time, in this age, we've been given a great fortune in this regard, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's come to deliver the mercy and the compassion of Srimati Radharani, he doesn't make demands that we be anything other than in admission of our fallen condition. If we go before the Lord and admit our fallen condition, that evokes his compassion. Again, as great as Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is, the greatness of that love is the greatness of the compassion. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that compassion of Srimati Radharani in the most fallen age, where there's no one has any qualifications. No one has any qualifications. So if we find ourselves in the fortune of being faced with the dilemma that you're saying, that we're fallen and, you know, we're admitting that in the temple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the temple of Srimati Radharani, Sri Radha Shamsundar, and then we simply lay before them, you know, weeping and crying that we're so fallen, and we'll evoke the compassion of the Lord. And as inconceivable as it is, and we have to approach this with faith, don't we? That we're so fallen, the Lord is so great, the distances between us is inconceivable, but by surrendering, we get the mercy of the Lord. We can actually achieve it. That's the faith that we have to have in this Kali Yuga, that the Lord has come in the most fallen of ages to give the highest thing. As inconceivable as it is, that's the fact, and it's as confirmed by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So we simply have to put ourselves in the way of the Lord's mercy. And therefore, the duty of the devotee is to put himself or herself in the way of the conditioned souls so that they can get the mercy. And they get the full mercy of the Lord, no matter how fallen they are. That's the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which is essentially Srimati Radharani's compassion for all of us. So being fallen is not a disqualification in the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present. Anything else? All right, we'll end there. Hare Krishna.